Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sankofa Radio. We travel to the past where we stop in the present on our journey into the future. I'm your host, Ascari Donso, and today we will be discussing Guilty Until Proven Innocent with a guy who's been in prison for 21 years trying to prove his innocence. It's customary that I start every show for the dedication. And so today I want to dedicate the show to the late, great Geronimo Pratt, who himself did 27 years for a crime he didn't commit, framed by the FBI, spent 27 years in the California prison system where he was a staunch fighter for prisoners' rights, prison justice, criminal reform justice before he was released after being exonerated. After doing 27 years for being falsely accused of killing a cop, he was a political prisoner who was framed because of his political activism in the Black Panther Party in the 60s. And so we want to give a special shout out, and we love you, to Geronimo Pratt and to all the brothers behind the wall who are doing time and didn't commit a crime. So with that being said, Mr. Fitchers, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, how you doing, brother?
Bless.
I want to start off by asking you the question, brother. Could you tell the people your name, where you from, and how long you've been incarcerated?
Well, my name is Roger LaVar Fitchers. I'm from Richmond, Virginia. I've been incarcerated for approximately 21 years.
Okay. Now, let me get this straight. You're claiming that you're innocent, right?
No, I'm actually innocent. This isn't a claim. This is what it is since day one, and it's been this way for the last 21 years.
Okay. So, explain how long you have been fighting to prove your innocence and how many people you have helping you prove your innocence.
Well, the fight started, like I said, since day one. You know, the day that I was arrested, which was September the 9th, 1996, I was with my mother and my sister actually enrolling me in the school. And, you know, those have been my strongest advocates. You know, my mother is Bessie Lee Fentress and my sister Melissa Fentress. You know, they've been with me, you know, every step of the way, you know, in my fight to prove that I'm innocent. Along the journey, you know, I was able to pick up, you know, a whole lot of, you know, a few friends. You know, my brother Roger Hunt, a few friends and, you know, family, you know, has stuck by me. But most significant was, you know, like while I was getting me to this point, was, you know, the reporter Brad Zinn, who took interest in my story. I had wrote him, he worked for the Stanton News Leader, and I had wrote him a letter and asked him for, you know, and told him my plight. And based on that letter, he did an investigation, and he was able to find, you know, or substantiate my claims, you know, or, you know, like I said, like, this isn't, you know, this I am actually innocent, you know, but this brother Brad Zinn was able to, you know, go to the courthouse and retrieve the evidence that I was talking about. He was able to go and question the individual that confessed to it, and he was able to obtain this information in like 72 hours. Also, my brother Reginald Dwayne Betts, who's my comrade or our comrade, because, you know, this brother was incarcerated with me at Southampton Receiving in the late 90s and at Sussex One State Prison. But anyway, this brother, Reginald Dwayne Betts, was released in like 2005, and he was able to, get his life together, you know, go back to school. He just recently graduated from Yale University, and he passed the bar, and he was given his license to practice. And in Connecticut, but this brother had dealt with somebody in school or something that he knew from the UVA, and this individual was able to talk to the director at UVA, and along with a lawyer that represented him from the Legal Aid Society, and, you know, based on the story and the information that he was able to give them, they decided to take my case, and that's where we're at now.
So, is there anybody else? If I'm not mistaken, I remember you happened to mention to me, bro, that you had the Innocence Project on your case. Could you explain a little bit about the Innocence Project involvement in your case and just how rare it is to have the Innocence Project get involved in the case?
Yes, sir. Well, we have Ms. Deirdre Enright, Ms. Jennifer Givens, and Mr. Nicholas Cummings at the Innocence Project at UVA. It's very rare to actually have them take on your case because, for one, they don't have a lot of resources. And then it's like, with that being said, they might have 1,000 requests for help, but they're only limited to the staff that they have. It's like, okay, schools have pro bono clinics and things of that nature, but the actual network or the Innocence Network is with them. So they might have anywhere from 1,000. I remember when they accepted my case, they had 623 requests prior to that. So they're extremely understaffed, which I think is the problem with, you know, because not only are people innocent, you have the people that have been wrongfully convicted, which is just as crazy, like with the amount of time that they've been given, or the fishback claim, or people that just need legal representation that have been that had to take pleas, or the people that need help and need assistance, but it seems for them to be so understaffed, they need more help. They need more organizations like them. They need more funding. They need more people to take an interest in it. Ms. Deirdre had told me one time that if as many people died in car accidents as those are that are wrongfully convicted, they will outlaw driving, period, for that matter alone. So, you know, that's peace.
Yeah, man, no doubt, man. I hear what you're saying. I'm in here with you, brother. I can totally relate to the whole people who are actually innocent and wrongfully convicted that oftentimes get overlooked.
Yes, sir.
And it's a great segue into my next question, man, because, you know, one of the reasons why we have difficulty in being able to get some support with both releasing people who are innocent and demanding justice for those who are wrongfully convicted is that a lot of people have preconceived notions about us guys in prison. So the question I would like to ask you with that in mind is, how hard is it to convince people that you're innocent once you've been convicted?
Well, what's crazy is it's like telling that person, I told you so. Because for some reason, in this state, or which is the only state that I know, once they convict you, there's no wrong. There's no foulness in it or no foul play. And for some reason, no one, you know, like the more evidence, it's like in my case, I said, well, okay, this is what it is. And they go research and they find out what I said to be true. And it's like, oh, you were right. Then they go find something else and they say, oh, you were right. Then they say something else and it's like, oh, you were right. But it's like it's clear that I have to keep asserting my position that I'm innocent. And it's like, if, you know, by the grace of God, these brothers were able to help me with Brad Zinn and Reginald Betts. And I think what I think my opinion is this: I think that it's the credibility of your supporters. It's like something happens when you're convicted of a crime, like you lose all credibility. So your word ain't nothing to them people. But when you have somebody that's on the outside that is credible or supposedly credible because they are free, that's when you jump over the hurdle. And then you have, you know, then you got the help. But then you got to think about the brother that's on life that don't have no family, don't have no friends and no associates and no one to fight for him. He's not any less deserving of this freedom or this help or assistance than I am. Just because I got somebody to speak for me, that's not fair. But that comes from the limited resources. Something needs to be done where these people investigate what these people doing. You know, like somebody that's in like an internal affairs type thing for the Commonwealth of Virginia to oversee and make sure that these people do their job the way they're supposed to. And if there is a place or organization or a group of people like this, get the word to us. Because I found out that a lot of us, we don't know. we don't know that we have resources and people to our disposal. I actually went to the law library and got a directory. And from this directory, I was able to get the names of the newspapers from this locality, the names of senators, the names of delegates and things of that nature. And I wrote one letter, and I took that one letter, and I made like 80 copies. I had 100 stamps, 100 forever stamps, and I sent back and sent back and sent these to all these different people, trying to spread the word, trying to let the people know, like, I need some help.
That is an amazing, phenomenal. Just the fact that you took ownership of your situation like that, and the psychology, man, and being able to find the fortitude and the motivation, man, with so much pressure. I understand that life, just, you know, suffering an injustice and still saying, in spite of, I'm going to continue to fight. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to believe that the system is just totally corrupt. I mean, that's a difficult thing to navigate, man. My question is, man, how are you doing, man, during this time, brother? You're doing a long-term sentence. I'm doing a long-term sentence, so I can relate to the struggle. But how are you doing it? How are you doing it as an innocent man? I mean, because, you know, at the end of the day, you didn't do it. You know, so what, I mean, how are you surviving this, man, with that knowledge that, you know, damn, I didn't even do anything.
It wasn't easy, bro. And by the grace of God, I was blessed to be around brothers like yourself and the many other brothers that support us in this journey, you know, in this fight, in this struggle. We can't do this alone. When I came to, like, the first prison that South had to receive it, I was able to get knowledge of self and awareness of who I am as a man, point blank, period. And I was able to have my brothers help me along the journey. And if it wasn't for that love or that unconditional love in this pain, I wouldn't have been able to make it. I didn't do it by myself. And I think, like, that's how I was able to make it this far. I had help. I had assistance. I had love. I had people that genuinely cared for me, pushing me further. Now, don't get it twisted. I resisted. I bucked like hell. You know, I'd have been to 23-1, 5-point restraints, smearing feces on officers and all types of crazy stuff just to fight, because I felt like this is the only way that I could fight. It's hard for someone to tell me, hey, look, pull your pants up. I got 53 years for a crime that I did not commit. I had absolutely nothing to do with, but here I am in a penitentiary. You know, took everything from me. My teens, my 20s, my 30s. I'm almost 40 years old, man. When they locked me up, I was 16 years old. When I got to Bronx, when I got to South Hampton Receiving, I was 17. When I got there, I couldn't even, from South Hampton Receiving to Brunswick, when I got there, I couldn't even purchase cigarettes because I was too young. I couldn't have, like, magazines or explicit magazines because of my age. But here, you gave me 53 years. And no matter how hard I screamed and hollered, no one heard. No one heard me. I remember my mama going to the library in Richmond on Broad Street, and she would sit at the door and catch lawyers coming in to research their cases, and she would say, help my son. I remember her writing letters to different organizations, different schools of thought, and this has been since the very beginning, and I rebelled. I bucked. I fought. I punched. I scratched. I spit. I threw urine, I threw feces, I did whatever I could. And then I got to a point where I felt like I had to grow up. I was even suicidal. I remember standing on the sink, wrapping a noose around my neck at Red Onion State Prison, October 9th, 2001, because I couldn't, the pressure, the amount of pressure. I had just lost my sister, Renashe Hunt, to a brain tumor. I was litigating my Baker claim, which was the parental notification thing. And all my appeals had crashed and everything, and I felt hopeless, like, the hell with it. I wrapped a noose around my neck, and a brother next door to me was beating on the wall at the same time. His name is Harrison Smith. We called him Q. And he said, bruh, he said, man, all I know is you only get one life. No matter where you are, you only get one life. So you got to live it to your fullest. So even though I know my circumstances, that's when I begin to mature. That's when I begin to, like, enlighten myself on hope, you know. And I surround myself by my friends and family and people that love me. you know, and understand we in the belly of the beast, so it's very hard to find brothers of like mind that really genuinely love you. My brother Shabazz, you know, our sister Bakura that came through for us, like, that loved us unconditionally. It's just so many people that help us along the way. But it's hard. It's very hard to be innocent, to know that you're innocent, but you having to prove it every step of the way. Somebody looking at you sideways like, well, I don't know, he might be, but I've been innocent for 21 years. And the only thing I remember is going to school and the officer coming to me and saying, are you Rose Fentress? Put your hands behind your back. And that's the last time I seen the street. And then I get to this particular point where you find out so much foulness and so much bullish went on behind the scenes to wrongfully convict me. And then, like right now, we're in litigation, so I got to be giant hush-hush about the case. But the Commonwealth of Virginia or the Attorney General's office, Mr. Christopher Scandival, is just fighting me tooth and nail. And all I asked them to do was look into my allegations. Listen to what I'm saying. If check out and see if these facts are right. When I put them before judges, they dismiss it. They pay it no mind. They just throw it up under the rug. And it's crazy because it's like, and I got a machine behind me in the Innocence Project. Think about me as a pro se litigant. How far would I be by my own? They would have swept this shit up under the rug and they would have went on about their business. And I would have been doing this 53 years.
Yeah. Wow. You know, I mean, what can be said after that? I mean, you know. Wow, it's the life. And so with that being said, we're going to take a break right now, man. I need to gather myself, let you gather yourself. We're going to come back with a wrap-up, a final word from my man, Rose Fentress, man. Shit is real, and it's not even about commercialism, man. This is real. I mean, yeah, real talk, bro. I'm living this life with you. We're going to take a break, man.
For sure.
And we're going to come back on the other end, man, and we're going to wrap this thing up. You're listening to Sankofa Radio. Peace.
One time, yeah. Yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things his son did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip. Writing names on my hollow tips, plotting shit, mad violence, so I'm gon' body this hood, politics acknowledge it. Leave bodies chopped up in garbages, seeds watch us, grow up and try to follow us, police watch us, roll up and try knocking us. One knee I duck, could it be my time is up? With my luck I got up, the cops shot again. Bus stop glass burst, a fiend drops his Heineken, ricocheting between the spots that I'm hiding in. Blacking out, I shoot back, fuck getting hit. This is my hood, I'm a rap to the death of it. To everybody, come on, little niggas is grown. Hood rats, don't abortion your wound. We need more warriors soon. Sent from the stars, sun and the moon. And it's like a police chase, the street sweepers and coppers. Sick up kids with no conscience, leaving victims with doctors. If you really think you're ready to die,
we're
not
out.
This is what knives about, nigga. The time is
now.
All I need is one blunt, one page, and one pen, one prayer. Tell God, forgive me for one sin. Matter of fact, maybe more than one. Look back at all the hatred against me. Fuck all of them. Jesus died at age 33. That's 33 shots from twin Glocks and 16 apiece. That's 32, which means one of my guns was holding 17. 27 hit your crew, 6 winning to you. Everybody gotta die sometime. Hope your funeral.
Welcome back, man, to the wrap-up of our show, Guilty Till Proven Innocent, with my man, Rose Fentress. Are you still there, Rose? Okay, he's not. Hopefully we better get the brother back, man, and wrap up. I want to get a final word from him. But I want to speak to the analysis. I'm going to give a little bit of analysis, speak to the situation, and give my analysis of what the brother was talking about and what exactly I experienced in him you know, just dealing with guys, man, who are actually innocent like Rose, because he's not the first. If you all go back and archive some of my shows, he talked to another your brother who was locked up when he was 15 years old in our show growing up in prison. He talks about, you know, we did a part one and a part two. Archive, go back to my archive shows and listen to that. There's some brothers in here, man, who've been here since they were teenagers, man. They were poor, they were black, they were from urban areas, man. And prosecutors, you know, they was overzealous in their prosecutions. Judges overlooked some of the evidence in front of their faces. It's a typical thing. And when you are powerless, when you don't have the money, when you don't have the impact or the influence, rather, you know, that certain people have. It's hard, man, you know. And so, Roger, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, sir. Yeah, so, you know, what I want to say, man, I'm going to get back into my analysis in a minute, but what I want to give you is an opportunity, man, before I get into all of that, to give a final statement, man, that you would like to say to people about your case and about just the situation as a whole. Whatever's on your heart, man. Just go ahead and do what you need to do, bro.
Well, first and foremost, man, I want to thank my sugar. You know, my sugar bear has been riding with me. You know, my beloved, my queen. She's been with me, you know, every step of the way. And what's crazy is the help of our women, our mothers, our sisters, our wives, our cousins, our nieces. Because, like, my niece, she's been very influential in helping me as well. But our women having to stand up for us. I'm so thankful that we have them. So, you know, a wise man told me once that, you know, the woman, the black woman, she ain't never lost knowledge herself. She ain't never lost who she was, even when we lost. She has been forced to fight by herself on her own. And it's crazy that she, you know, she was able to maintain through all this bullshit that we've been through. And like I said, my mother, you know, she was the first one with me. And she, you know, she her love and her fight and her passion. But what's making it more sick that, you know, where we living in, the place that we living in, that, you know, this is what we do to our children. You know, these are, you know, they stomp and trample on our rights, and, you know, they disregard our lives like we mean absolutely nothing. You know, to know that, you know, like at the end of the day, I look back at my mother when they locked me up in school, when they put them handcuffs on me behind my back and they stripped me from her, and she was powerless. But her fight, her love, and her determination is what got me to this particular point, because I wouldn't have made it without her, and I damn sure wouldn't have made it up without our brothers that are here. Charles Pulliam, OT, my father. I love that man with all, you know, with everything that I have, who protected me from the predators that dwell amongst this junk. I came in here a baby face, young boy. You know, brothers like yourself, like I say, they've been in the struggle with me. They take these whips, you know, take these strikes on our back together. You know, we stand in solidarity no matter where we are. You know, I just want to say thank you to our brothers and sisters that's been holding us down, man. And we got to do something about this. Something has to stop. But it's very clear with what just went on with the House and what just went on November the 7th with the election. You know, I'm so proud of our people for being able to step up, stand against this bullshit that we all go through. You know, our women, our children, our families, you know, people just standing up to a point when they're saying enough is enough. You know, a brother said, when are we going to stand up and say, not me? I done had enough. And I think when I reached that particular point, that's what gave me the fight. Because not only do I have a fight to endure, regardless if my release date is 2018 or 2043, I'm not going to stop fighting. Health and wellness is the key. Getting my mind right, my body right. You know, staying prayed up, you know. Staying surrounded by good brothers that can help me in the midst of this bullshit. And brothers that I can help in the midst of this. You know, being supported and loved by our sisters. But with that, man, I just want to say thank y'all so much for doing what y'all are doing. Keep fighting. I'm going to fight with you. Lord willing, you know, you can check out newsleader.com, article by Brad Zinn, Serving Life Without Being Sentenced to Life. And also, Innocence Project, Questions, Ventures, and Conviction. And be on point because Brad Zinn is releasing another story, publishing another story soon. So go to newsleader.com, check that out. In Mass Incarceration, check that out. VAPOCC, Prisoners of Conscience, check that out. Check out In Mass Incarceration, Coalition for Justice, Miss Margaret Roslow, all our supporters, you know. And I want to give a shout out to Miss Kate. Miss Lily Branch Kennedy, who, that woman, man, thank you so much for everything that you've done. You know, I remember your meetings at Lawrenceville Correctional Center when you used to come up and show out, and you've been pushing for us since day one. I wanted to say thank you from my mouth to your ears, man. God bless you. Peace.
Man, you know, it's always a blessing, man, to be able to speak to you all, to give voice to the voiceless, man. We're doing everything we can. Don't take this for granted. I've said it several times, man. People have been criminalized and punished for much less. And so what the state wants is silence, you know. And so when you are resisting their attempt to silence you, that's dangerous, you know, when people control your body. You know, in response to this interview and everything we just went over, my question would be, what is the goal? You know, what is the goal? You know, I mean, you know, is it rehabilitation? Is it retribution? I mean, if it's on any of those things, well, what does that have to do with locking up innocent people, man, forever? What does that have to do with wrongfully convicting people, being overzealous in your charging people, trying to get people to plea bargain, and when they don't, you convicting them of crimes they didn't commit? What is the goal? Is the goal to get prosecutors elected into public office and make them have great careers as politicians? I mean, what's the goal? You know what I'm saying? And so this is what the people have to rise up. The people have to begin to question, what the hell is the goal? What's tax dollars being spent on? What is the criminal justice system doing in your name? You know, when you're talking about a local prosecutor in a city that you in, I mean, these people represent you. You're a citizen of this particular city, and they locking up innocent people, man. And you pay these people. I mean, what's going on? And so this is what we have to do as a citizenry. We have to question these things. We have to question our government. Our government we have to demand from our government to respond to us and to be accountable. We're holding us accountable. I'm watching these politicians with all these harassment and rape allegations coming out, and you these are the same people who was being tough on crime, saying lock us up and throw away the key. We might need to lock them up and throw away the key. Like, for real, what is the goal? My analysis with this at the end is, it's time for the people to demand better. Poor people, black people, immigrant people, poor working class white people who suffer from a justice system that ain't representing us fairly. We need to rise up. We need to challenge these people. We need to demand better. We need to demand better from this Democratic Party that keeps relying on our votes to get into office. You need to change this flawed system that you contributed to creating. We're not going to forget that you contributed to creating this. And so that's what this is about today. It's about raising our awareness. It's about getting involved. I want to say thank you to Roger Fentress. He's exactly right. I want to say thank you to my queen. I love my queen to death, my wife, the beautiful sister that holds me down. I'm able to do everything I'm able to do because of my wife. She's a little shy, so I'm not going to throw her name up there. I love her to death. To all the people that support me, I want to say follow us on In Mass Incarceration in Virginia on Facebook. Go to coalitionforjustice.wixsite.com. Check out our prison blog to learn more. Follow me on Free Ascari Twitter, and follow me at Ascari Donso on Facebook. Get involved. Get involved. This is about action. This is about organizing. This is about people's movement, people power. Thank you for listening. Thank you for hearing our voices. Share this with your friends. Get involved. We need your help. As we always say, our sign off, man, the first step forward is going backwards, man. Learn your culture, learn your history, get involved. Peace.
One time, yeah, yeah, yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page, only if I had one gun, one girl, and one